Hey, we're looking at a message this morning titled, We Harvest What We Plant. We harvest what we plant. That is always true in our lives. I'm going to show that to you. Before I read the text and before I pray, I'm going to show you a little video clip first from a movie called Secondhand Lions. Some of you may well have seen it, but you don't have to have seen it to understand the clip. The clip is just a boy with two of his uncles working in a garden. We'll drop the lights down if we could so we can see it a little better before we hit play to make it a little darker on the stage. I know that projector is a little dull as well, but listen to the dialogue when I put it up there. Before I play it, just as a word to you that I think you would know anyway, but to help you to get where we're going today, you can't plant apple seeds and grow an avocado tree. You know that, right? You can't plant tomato seeds and grow green beans. You can't do it. Think about that as you watch this clip with me from this film. It's about a minute long.
Think how good all these vegetables are going to taste. Peas, beans, squash, tomatoes.
Yeah. What's this, Ron?
Beets.
Beets.
Yep.
And what about this, Ron?
Potatoes.
Potatoes?
Yeah.
What's this row here?
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes?
Yeah.
That's lettuce, squash, sweet potatoes, carrots, bok choy.
Bok choy?
What's that?
Chinese cabbage.
Hey, yeah. That row looks right.
Yeah, this is corn.
All those seeds did look alike, come to think of it.
Yeah, like corn.
Boy, that seed salesman sure saw us coming.
No, saw you coming. Corn, corn, corn. Nothing but corn.
If you plant corn, what grows? Come on, if you plant corn, what grows? You can't plant corn and grow tomatoes and sweet potatoes and bok choy, if you will. You only grow corn. Let me show you that in our lives from Galatians chapter number 6. It tells us this. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, thanks for your word. Thanks for this spiritual law, the spiritual principle that we are considering today. I pray that you'd help us to apply it in our lives. I pray that you'd help us to be a people who sow good seeds, Lord God, knowing that our harvest rests in what we sow. May your word be light and life to us today as well, we pray. Church, would you pray with me? Lord, here I am. Build me up through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We discovered something it's been 4 or 5 years ago now, actually, but it was in the fall one year. We discovered something about my younger son, Zachary, that we never knew before. Now, we always knew that he was a very talented young man, and he was. He's very creative, he writes well, he's very artistic, he's very musical, and he has a lot of talents along that way. But we discovered something about him, a particular skill of his, by accident, and it happened in early October one year. We were riding through our neighborhood one year in early October, and my neighbor's houses were all decorated for Halloween. They had witches and ghosts and goblins and big spider webs and tombstones and whatever else out in front of their home as we rode through. And as we're riding through, one of us got the idea of we should do something in front of our house that where we still decorate our house, but where we do something spiritual, if you will. And as we brainstormed, we decided that we would get some pumpkins and carve some spiritual things into them since our neighbors were carving scary faces and things into theirs. Now, I had ulterior motives in going along with this plan because I love pumpkin like you would not believe. It is like one of my favorite foods in the world. This is one of my favorite seasons that we're crossing into because I love pumpkin muffins and I love pumpkin pie and I love pumpkin spice lattes. Where are my pumpkin fans? Are you in here? There's some of us. Yes. I mean, everybody who raised their hand, they're the most spiritual people in the room. They're wonderful. I love pumpkin. If it's pumpkin, I think it's delicious. Okay. Now, I must admit that my brother, he did send me this recently, and this is not a scam. This is legitimate. This is from News 12's website, News 12 on your side. Spam is jumping on the pumpkin spice bandwagon. Yes, it is coming out, pumpkin spice spam. What do you think? Thumbs up? Yeah, I got some yeses. I don't know. I know there's some folks that don't like spam, but if you fry it up, I'm ready to try it. I'm ready to try pumpkin spice spam. So anyway, I love pumpkin. So I love roasting pumpkin seeds. You take the seeds. Here's your food course mixed into the sermon. Clean them off. You can put salt on them. You can do them with cinnamon and sugar. You can put whatever you want on them. You roast them in the oven on a flat baking pan, 15, 20 minutes. They come out. They are delicious when they're hot. They are so good. I see some nods in the room. So I love them. So we decide we're going to do this, and we're going to roast the pumpkin seeds. So it's me, my son Zachary, and Zach's friend Devon, who we often refer to as our like adopted son. He came home with Zachary one time when he was about 8 or 9 years old and pretty much never left after that. That's what it seemed like. So he was there all the time. So I carved into my pumpkin, I think, a cross. That seems pretty simple, right? I was like, and then I was going to put a light out front of it, and I'll put a cross in front of the house. It didn't look much like a cross when I was done, but I gave it a shot. Devon was a little more adventurous than me, and he tried to carve like a dove into his to make it look like that. It didn't look much like one. But my son, Zach, he decided that he would carve the face of Jesus into the front of a pumpkin. Now, I know we don't really know what Jesus looks like, just based on the pictures, but I actually have a picture of the front of his pumpkin from that night here for you. That is the front of a pumpkin that my son. So we're there. I'm trying to cut a cross. Devon's over here trying to do a couple of wings, and this is what my son Zach, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, where did that come from? So this kid carves the face of Jesus into his pumpkin, and we're all impressed. Now, I will tell you on a side note, we ended up having him do it again and entered it in some kind of art contest, and then he did it for fine art. Some of our youth have done fine arts over the years here as well. When it was done, my son won a $4,000 scholarship for his pumpkin carving ability. How about that one? We didn't even know he could do it. $4,000. So listen, if your kids are downstairs in kids' church, pumpkins are coming out soon, you need to be teaching your children how to carve pumpkins, because that's how they're going to go to college. All right, so anyway, it helped my son get through, I'll tell you that. So anyway, so Zach had this crazy ability. So, but what I learned through the process was that somehow I did not know is you can only buy a pumpkin now. I don't even know if they're out yet. Are they out yet? Soon. I know the flavor is out yet, but like September, October, into November, that's the only time you can buy a pumpkin. My son entered his pumpkin in some contest. He won. He advanced to the next level. It was February. He had to carve another pumpkin. You can't save the first pumpkin. Come on, it rots. So he had to do it again. So he has to carve another pumpkin. I show up at the store in February and go walking into the produce section and ask a guy, where do you keep the pumpkins? There aren't any pumpkins in February. You can't buy a pumpkin in February. He showed me a can. I'm like, my son can't carve a can. That won't work. So I got to have an actual pumpkin. He ended up having to do a melon or something to make it work because we couldn't get them. You can only get a pumpkin in the fall. They don't import them. They don't bring them from other places. It's just this one time of year where we're treated with these special pumpkin treats. That's all you can do it. And you can't even get a pumpkin in the fall unless you do something in the spring. Guess what you have to do? You got to plant it. If you don't plant pumpkin seeds in the spring, then you won't have pumpkins in the fall. The only way to get them in the fall is to have planted them in the spring. That's how it works with all fruits and vegetables. I'm walking my dog in my neighborhood. I'm around the corner, and the neighbor yells out to me, do you want any tomatoes and cucumbers? I said, well, I won't tell you no. And I went up into his driveway, and from right there in his yard, he has tomatoes and cucumbers. And he picked them, and he put them in a bag for me. I thanked him, and I went on my way. And then when I got home, I go walking around in my yard, and guess what? For some reason, my yard doesn't have any tomatoes and cucumbers. I'm like, well, why does his yard have tomatoes and cucumbers? And all my yard has is grass and weeds and dandelions. How come? Why are there no tomatoes and cucumbers in my yard? Because I didn't plant any tomatoes and cucumbers. If I didn't plant the seeds, then they can't grow. He has tomatoes and cucumbers because he planted tomatoes and cucumbers. I don't have them because I did not plant them. You get what you plant. It works as a natural law, of course, but it also works spiritually. And that's what Paul is writing about in his letter to the church in Galatia. He's writing to them about our lives. The words we speak, the decisions we make, everything we do, the Bible likens it to planting seeds, and it says they produce a harvest at the proper time. So catch a few truths with me about this that I believe we can apply in our lives. And the first one is this, and that is in our lives with the seeds we plant, if the conditions are right, something will grow. If the conditions are right, something will grow. The spiritual principle of you reap what you sow is not a proverb, it's not proverbial, it's not poetic, it is a spiritual law. God has ordained this, it is a guaranteed thing. It works kind of like the way natural laws would. If it gets below 32 degrees, what happens to water? Come on, you know this, you paid attention in fifth grade science or third or whatever grade it was. Below 32 degrees, what happens to the water? It freezes. Not sometimes, it will always freeze. Unless you do something to change the conditions, it will always freeze. If you heat the water to 212 degrees, what will happen? Now, you might not have known that number, but you knew it was a safe guess at this point because you were like, obviously, he's going to the other end, right? So it boils at 212 degrees. We know that. If I drop this pen, what will happen? What do you think will happen this time? What do you think will happen this time? What do you think will happen this time? You're wondering, how many times is he going to do that? If I drop the pen 1,000 times, do you think the pen will fall 998 times? Do you think the pen will fall 999 times? If I drop the pen 1,000 times, how many times will the pen fall? Every single time, no matter what, the pen will fall. Unless we change the conditions, no matter what, it's going to fall. Now, if we were up in the International Space Station, traveling 17,000 miles an hour, 250 miles above the Earth, you could drop the pen, and what will happen to the pen then? It'll just float. You change it. But here, it's an automatic thing. It is always going to fall. It's going to work every single time. The spiritual law of sowing and reaping is the same way. It's just like natural planting and harvesting. It's just like if the conditions are right, then no matter what your seed always grows into something. It always produces a harvest. And that's why this next point is so important to get, because the conditions really are always right when it comes to the lives we live. You always plant in fertile soil. You always plant. I'm not telling you that that's a good idea. I'm telling you that we do that whether we want to or not. Now, when Jesus taught about the preaching of the gospel, he said the gospel goes forth to people. Sometimes it falls on different types of soil. But that's a different illustration that he's teaching at that point. When it comes to the seed sown in our lives, the words we speak, the decisions we make, the things we do, those seeds are always sown into fertile soil. They always bring a harvest. It is, again, a guarantee. Somebody say always. It's a guaranteed thing in God's word. So that means the gifts we give, the love we show, the respect, forgiveness, or if it's on the opposite, anger, bitterness, stinginess, hate, injustice, whatever it is, whatever comes from us, it's a planted seed, and that planted seed is always going to grow because it's always sown into fertile soil. The Bible says we reap what we sow. It's a guaranteed thing along the way with this. Look at Galatians 6:7 with me. It says this. It says you will always, it doesn't say sometimes, it says you will always harvest what you plant. You will always harvest what you plant. Always is big here. It's important. Because in life, sometimes we get away with stuff. It started when you were a kid. When you were a kid, sometimes you got away with things. You did stuff and your parents didn't catch you. You were able to pull it off. You did something at school and your teacher didn't catch you. And you grow up, and maybe you even did something at work, and your boss didn't catch you. And we figure out in life that sometimes we can get away with things. However, in the realm of the spirit, this is a spiritual law. There's nothing I can do to get away with dropping the pen and it falling. It falls no matter what. And in my life, are reaping what we sow. There's no changing it. There's no getting out of it. It's a guaranteed thing in God's word. It always comes to pass in our lives. It's a spiritual law. If I had some water with me up here this morning and I poured it on the floor, what would happen to the floor? What will happen if I pour water on the floor a second time? What will happen if I pour water on the floor a third time? It doesn't matter how many times I do it. It will work every single time. It always works. It will not change it. It's the same in our lives. The decisions I make, the words I speak, the things I do, they always reap back. We always reap back what we sow. There's always a return. And that's important to understand as well, because I want to keep moving along through what Paul was expressing here. We need to recognize the soil is always fertile and there's always a return, because our capacity for self-deception is frightening in life. Our capacity for self-deception is frightening. We fool ourselves. We fool ourselves in life. You can't fool God, but we have an amazing ability to fool ourselves. God is never deceived, but we also deceive ourselves. And whenever I think that I can act a certain way but not reap what I have sown, or I will reap something different than what I have sown, what I'm really doing then is I'm deceiving myself. I'm deceiving myself. Because the Bible said that whatever I sow, that's what I reap. That's what I reap. Yet there's this common tendency among us to sometimes think that we're the one exception to the rule. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean? I mean this. Somebody else does you wrong. Natalie does something wrong to me, and I say, ah, she'll get hers. What goes around comes around. Oh, there'll be a return. But then if I do something to someone else, I say, well, you know, I didn't really mean nothing bad by that. I'm all right. Yeah, so I think that you'll pay for what you do, but I won't. I'll be off the hook. I'm the exception to the rule. Everybody else, whatever they do, there's a consequence for what they do, but not for me. I'm the exception to the rule. I can do anything, and God understands me, and he knows my heart. He knows I didn't mean anything bad by it, so he just overlooks it with me. No. No one is the exception to the rule. Everybody reaps what they sow, is what the Bible teaches us. Everybody reaps what they sow. Now, the grace of God is amazing. Thank God for his grace. Amen? Thank God that his mercies are new every morning. But that doesn't change the fact that the seed I put in the ground always still grows. Always still grows. There's always still consequences to it. And this is so important for us to understand. And Jeremiah 17:9 really illustrates this for us when it comes to our self-deception. It says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Turn to your neighbor and say, why are you so wicked? What's wrong with you? We trick ourselves. We trick ourselves. We believe, I can live however, and there won't be any consequences. And it's amazing how spiritually blind brilliant people can sometimes be. Brilliant people can blind themselves. It can happen in so many different situations where we sow bad seeds for years. And then in the end, we don't understand why we don't have a good harvest in a situation, whatever it be. We don't invest in something. We don't work on our marriage. Maybe we didn't work on our family. Whatever it would be, we could run the list. And then when things fall apart, we say, I don't understand what happened. I don't know how this happened. But we didn't plant any good seeds along the way. So what other harvest could we expect that we would reap? If we're not careful, we'll become like Adam and Eve. You remember them in the garden hiding. They made clothing for themselves after they had sinned. They made clothing out of fig leaves, as you remember. Can you imagine making clothing out of fig leaves? What kind of clothes were they? I always think, what were your other options? I guess they hadn't killed animals yet, so they didn't know. But they made clothes out of fig leaves to try to cover themselves, and they tried to hide their poor excuses and their poor decisions by their poor clothing. When God showed up and he says to Adam, God says to Adam, he wants to know what happened. And what does Adam say? He says, he doesn't say, I did something wrong. He says, God, the woman you gave me, she gave me the fruit and I ate it. It's your fault, God. It's not my fault. It's yours. You're the one who started all this. I was fine until you. He blames God is what he does. He doesn't really blame the woman. He blames God. The woman you gave me. Said this. No. And God's like, no. You did this. This was your decision. You're who will reap from the seeds that you sowed in this situation. But it's self-deception. It's self-deception that he's doing there. And we can fall into it if we're not careful. It's a mistake that we'll all make. But we don't want to. We don't want to. Because our decisions are so big. Your destiny, if you will, is determined by your decisions. Now, I am certainly not implying that there aren't factors that are beyond our control that have a direct impact on our lives, because obviously there are. A natural disaster, things that other people do. Obviously, there are other things that have a direct impact on our lives that we don't have any control over. That's true. But those things are your circumstances. They're not you. I want you to catch that. Those are your circumstances. They're not you. So other things don't have control, if you will, over who I become. Just my circumstances along the way, what I would deal with. But as we go through life, the decisions we make, that we make every day, from the moment we wake up, throughout our day until we lay our heads to rest, our days are filled with constant decision making, and every decision we make, everything we do, it's another seed sown. And how many times do we harvest based on the seeds we sow? Always. Always. So when I get up, the things I do, the things I say, the decisions I make, always there will be a harvest later at the proper time for the decisions that I make. That means how I live my life has an enormous impact on the results of my life and what happens as I go throughout it and who I become. I need to make sure that I'm sowing good seeds, that I'm making good decisions. You go to school, you go all semester, you never study, you never do any work, it's the night before the final, you walk in the next morning, you blow it, you say, I don't understand what happened. I don't understand how this happened. I thought I was a pretty good student. But you weren't a good student. You didn't do anything. You didn't do anything for the whole semester. And then on the night before the exam, what do we want to do then? Now we want to pray, right? Now it's time to pray. God, help me. Help me, God. God, help me remember the things that I never bothered to read or study through the whole semester. Help me, God, to learn these things. I know I didn't do any of the work, but help me, God, to get a better grade. And we don't just do it as students, so we do it in all different areas in our lives where we think what I did isn't going to impact the results. But the Bible tells us that it's always going to. Every decision is important. There's a proverb, not a proverb from the book of Proverbs, but an old proverbial saying that I love that goes like this. It says, sow a thought. We talked about our thought life last Sunday. Sow a thought and reap an act. Sow an act and reap a habit. Sow a habit and reap a character. Sow a character and reap a destiny. Now, let me just pick something as an example. I want to be someone. Obviously, I'm a teacher of God's word, a preacher of God's word. I want to be somebody who knows the Bible very well, who knows the scriptures very well. Is that going to happen with me not reading the Bible? With me not studying the Bible. I want that to be who I am. So because I want that to be who I am, I make sure that every day I spend time in God's Word, reading the Bible, going through it. Because I know the only way for me to become a person of the Word is for me to sow good seeds. I can't never read my Bible and then one day just all of a sudden wake up and realize, I can't believe I just know everything about the Bible. It won't happen. The only way to get the harvest is to plant the seeds. We reap what we sow in every area of our lives. Make sure that you're sowing good seeds. Because it begs the question, where is it that you want to go and who is it that you want to be? Because you won't get there by mistake. If you want to become someone, then you do things, you plant the seeds that grow into who you want to become. So you say, well, here's who I want to be. Then what decisions do I need to make to get myself into becoming that individual? That's what the Bible's teaching us there. Because I'm going to reap what I sow. That result is going to be there in my life, in every area of my life, whatever it is, spiritually as well as in the natural. If I plant tomatoes, what's going to grow? If I plant cucumbers, what's going to grow? It happens in our lives altogether. If I plant the Word of God, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So I plant seeds of God's Word in my life, I become a person of faith. I become a person of faith because I planted the right seeds. I can't become a person of faith by accident. I have to plant the seeds that grow into that harvest in my life. So whoever I want to be, wherever I want to become, those are the seeds that I plant in my life. Otherwise, we can convince ourselves through self-deception of thinking, well, I'm just going to keep on holding a grudge against Natalie, but I won't grow into becoming a better person. Of course I'll become a bitter person. I planted the wrong seeds. But if I'm just picking on Natalie today because she's right here. But if I forgive Natalie and I show grace to Natalie, now I become a person of grace, right? I reap it back in my life. I grow into those decisions that I made because we always reap what we sow. Plant good seeds. Sow to the Spirit. Now here's what you got to catch here. How do you do that? You say, Pastor, how do you sow to the Spirit? If sowing to my sinful nature results in just death and destruction in my life, but sowing to the Spirit results in life, that abundant life that Jesus speaks of, then how do I get that? Well, here's what you need to catch. Walking in the Spirit or sowing to the Spirit, it cannot be done in isolation. And Paul shows us that in Galatians, where we just read today. It cannot be done in isolation. Sowing to the Spirit is illustrated in the text we read today by the call to serve one another, to be there for one another. Planting good seeds is to serve one another. I don't have this verse on the screen for you. I want you to listen to it. It's from Galatians 5:13. It comes just before our text today. He says this. Paul says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." This is what you can't miss in that verse. The opposite of indulging my sinful nature, the opposite of just choosing to live a sinful life, the opposite of that is not prayer and Bible study. Is it good to pray and read your Bible? Of course it is. Come on. If your neighbor didn't answer, look at him and ask him, "What's wrong with you? You need to pray and read your Bible." Yeah, so of course it's good to pray and read your Bible. But the opposite of indulging my sinful nature there in Galatians is not, Paul doesn't say, don't indulge your sinful nature. Instead, spend more time praying and read your Bible. He doesn't say that. He says, don't indulge your sinful nature. Instead, serve one another in love. That's the opposite. The opposite of living a sinful life where I sow bad seeds is played out with you and you with me as we serve one another and look out for one another in love. That means I can't sow to the Spirit by myself. That means I can't be a person who walks in the Spirit in isolation. An isolated Christian is not sowing good seeds. They're not. If I'm just living all by myself, I'm not sowing good seeds. I can only do that with someone else, living in communion, in relationship with other people from the body of Christ. In Galatians 5:15, Paul says that those who sow to their sinful nature, he says they bite and devour one another. That's what it means to sow to the sinful nature. It means to not be in good relationship with the body of Christ. But sowing to the Spirit is this. Galatians 6:1, it's restoring people who have stumbled on the journey. Galatians 6:2, it's carrying one another's burden. Galatians 6:6, it's sharing and giving to others. Galatians 6:9 and 10, it's doing good to all, but especially to those of the household of faith. That means if I want to reap back life and the things of God in my life and eternal reward that comes through sowing good seeds, I need to sow forgiveness and love and giving and being there for others and helping and caring. That's sowing to the Spirit. That's sowing to the Spirit. It's looking out for one another in the body of Christ is what it means to sow in the Spirit. We're planting all the time, and our seeds are always returning a harvest. We want to harvest a good harvest, so, and I know you want to harvest a good harvest as well, even as I do, so we don't want to deceive ourselves. We want to know that we're sowing to the Spirit. My wife got hurt this week, about a week ago at work. And many of you have heard, and I prayed for her this morning. And she's resting now, which she needs to do. I appreciate so much your prayers for her healing. She hurt her back at work. Throughout this week, there's been folks who have called her. There's been some folks who've texted to say, "Hey, how are you? We just want you to know that, you know, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you." When that happens, that's sowing to the Spirit. That's good seeds, sowing to the Spirit, because Christianity isn't lived in isolation. When you're doing good for someone else and you're looking out for someone else, that's sowing to the Spirit. When you know somebody else has a need and you move to meet that need, that's sowing to the Spirit. Sister D, in that story she shared this morning of the need for forgiveness in the family, when we forgive one another and bear with one another in love, that sowing to the Spirit. And the result is we always reap life back in our lives because we harvest what we plant. If I plant a pumpkin seed, what do I grow? If I plant apple seeds, what do I grow? An apple tree. If I plant seeds to my sinful nature, I grow destruction. But if I plant seeds to the Spirit by loving and serving and forgiving and working together with the body of Christ, then I reap life and blessing from God. But remember this, as I say that, you can only do that in relationship. Christianity lived in isolation doesn't look anything whatsoever like biblical Christianity. Nothing. Now you could say, Pastor, we're at church. Why would you be telling us that? You're preaching to the choir. But here's what I've learned over the years. You can come to church and still be living your Christianity in isolation. Because you can show up and come in and sit and sing the songs and hear the pastor speak and get up and leave and have nothing to do with the body of Christ all week long and just live in complete isolation. But here's the thing. If I do that and then I think I'm a spiritual man, guess what? I'm not. I'm not really a spiritual man because I'm not sowing to the Spirit. I'm not working with the body of Christ in love and in that relationship. So if I want to reap back that way in my life, then I do it through relationship with others. And sometimes that takes some effort on our part to put that forth. Some of us are extroverted. Some of us are introverted. Our personalities are different. Our preferences are different. All that's still true about us, but it doesn't change the fact that I reap what I sow. So make sure that you're sowing good seeds into your relationship with the body of Christ. Amen? Would you stand with me today? Serving one another in love. Amen. That's how we sow to the Spirit. That's how we sow to the Spirit. And we want to sow good seeds. Good seeds. Hallelujah. If you know, I mean, this meant so much to Jesus. You remember in Jesus' illustration where he said, you know, if you brought your sacrifice to the altar and you remember there was something between you and somebody else, he said, go get that right first. Jesus knew how important this was as well. No, we've got to be sowing good seeds in our lives that reap back a harvest in our lives because we harvest what we plant. We harvest what we plant. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's evaluate ourselves. One of my points today was that our capacity for self-deception is so amazing. So let's evaluate ourselves and be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves, what kind of seeds am I sowing? Am I holding on to some bitterness and grudges against other people? Am I choosing not to forgive even though I've been forgiven? Am I choosing to cut people off in relationship rather than bear with one another in love? What kind of seeds am I sowing in my life? Let's just evaluate ourselves. Evaluate ourselves. How am I doing? And as the Holy Spirit is faithful to reveal things to us, this will be a good time for us to commit ourselves and say, God, I want a good harvest. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. And commit ourselves to making things right, to making changes where we need to, because we always reap what we sow. We always reap what we sow. Hallelujah. Search our hearts. Help us to be honest with ourselves. Hallelujah. May we not fool ourselves, Lord God. We want to reap back abundant life in you. Abundant life in you. Thank you, Lord. Let grace flow where it's needed. Let us also make things right. Make things right. Sow those good seeds, we pray. Lord God, there's a brother or sister of mine in here that needs to make a phone call. There's someone they need to call and forgive or ask forgiveness of. There's a brother or sister of mine in here that needs to pay a visit to someone or needs to stop someone and just speak a word and love to them, Lord God. There's a brother or a sister of mine in here, Lord God, who's living too isolated. Maybe life has hurt them along the way. That's why they're choosing to do it, but your call is for us to live in relationship with one another. God, I pray that you would open our eyes and help us to see who we are, be honest with ourselves, sow good seeds, and reap back a harvest in our lives.